Thank you, Tracy and team. Just appreciated those songs. It's good for me to be able to just release some things over the Lord and know that I'm deeply loved by Him, as are you. Grace Point Church, great to be here this Thanksgiving weekend, and I'm grateful for you, our church, my church family. I'm grateful because I believe the local church is the hope of the world, and we are part of that. I'm grateful for your incredible generosity, as Ralph mentioned, the $8,000 that we can send over to the Bahamas. I'm grateful that we're a moral compass in our society, because our society needs that. I'm grateful that we're investing in this next generation of kids and what God is going to continue to do. I'm thankful for you guys. So great to have you here this morning as we continue our Rooted series. And the theme of week three is how God speaks to us. And I'm grateful that we're a church that we can go through together this Rooted journal. And how God speaks to us. Now, do you ever wonder, like, is something from God or not from God? Do you ever, like, get this impression or this idea, this thought or this nudge, and you're kind of like, I think this is from God, but I'm not sure? And, you know, you kind of wrestle that through, right? And sometimes, yeah, is it just my idea? Or is it God's idea? Or worse, is it from the enemy? I remember once I had this idea for ministry, and I'm not even sure what it was. And I bounced it by my wife, Sheila, and I bounced it by our board chair. And I remember one said to me, that sounds like that's from the devil. And the other said, this comes from the Lord. And I thought, okay, this speaks to the confusion of the issue. And we've all been burned by thinking something is from God, and we've kind of charged ahead with it, and then it becomes like this train wreck. And we think, oh, we look foolish. We wonder, is that from God? I remember once standing in front of a church, and we were going to have a big outreach the following Sunday. And I said, this week, I invite you to pray with me as we're counting on thousands of people from the community to come to our outreach. But we need good weather because it's all outdoors. And I said, I'm going to pray and I want you to pray with me. And I said, if it rains next Sunday, I am going to resign. Well, the following Sunday, it was a beautiful sunny day. We had a great outreach. But I remember a couple days later, I connected with somebody. And he said to me, man, it was just a bummer that it rained on Monday because I had planned this charity golf event on Monday. And then I was thinking to myself, was that faith standing in front of the church like that? Or was that just foolishness? Because no doubt my friend, he'd been praying for sunshine for Monday. And I've been praying for Sunday. Like sometimes pastors say some pretty strange things around hearing God's voice, right? Rachel Held Evans in one of her books talks about being in a church and the pastor said, God is leading us to pave the parking lot. And yes, there are special offering envelopes that are associated with that. Is that part of God's priorities? You know, paving the parking lot? I remember a Friday evening starting to read a book. It was by one of the pastors of one of the largest churches in North America. And in the opening chapter of this book, he talked about what he called God's favor. That God has favor for you and you just got to claim it. And he used the example of you go to the shopping mall or Walmart and a parking spot opens up at the front of the parking lot. That's a sign of God's favor. The next morning, I'm at playing squash. So I show up at the rec center. There's a parking spot that opens up right at the front. I grab that parking spot. I'm getting out of my car and the guy I was playing against, he said to me, hey, Rick, look at that. A parking spot just opened up for you. That's the law of attraction. I said, what's the law of attraction? He said, well, it's in the universe. When you have a desire for something and you desired this parking spot, the law of attraction will work that out for you. Now, my friend I was playing with, he's not a Christian. I'm not even sure if he believes in God, you know, but is that what God's favor? Is that what God's will? Is that what God's leading looks like? Opening up parking spots? Here at men's group a couple weeks ago, the fellow was leading that week, had us talking about the Bible and UFOs. Interesting kind of subject. But as part of that, he talked about divining rods or dowsing rods. Ever seen one of these? Yeah, some of you have seen one of these? When I went to Bible college, they said that these things were from the devil. And then I pastored a church in Saskatchewan, and I heard from some godly people about their parents who were godly Christian saints who used these divining rods or dowsing rods to find water on where to drill a well as they were homesteading the land. Does God speak through a twig? How do we know God's guidance? Speaking of Bible college, I remember having a conversation with a guy at Bible college who felt called to full-time ministry. And as we were talking, he mentioned that his wife was against the idea. And then he said to me, but she'll come around. That, yeah. Thank you for that reaction. And sadly, their marriage ended up breaking up. You know, God in the midst of relationships. Like, what do you do when you're single and somebody says to you, God told me that we're supposed to date? Like, what do you do in response to that? This subject of how God speaks to us is just so relevant and pertinent in all areas of our lives. And I'm looking forward to this week as we walk through the daily devotions. And in my discipleship group Friday evening, we're going to do a prayer experience together. How God speaks to us. So, you know, there almost seems to be one of two extremes. On one side, you got people who are, you know, kind of like the hyper-spiritual kind of people. You know, let's call them like super-spiritual Sam. And super spiritual Sam is always talking about God. And he's like, oh, I was wondering what pair of socks I should wear. And then God directed me that I'm supposed to wear this color socks today. And, you know, God's leading and God's guiding and God's directing. And it's God, God, God. And sometimes you wonder if, like, Sam is kind of shirking personal responsibility, right? Because you maybe heard some of the things that somebody like him says. And, you know, he'll be like, oh, you know, God told me that I'm supposed to lose weight. So I'm, you know, stopped drinking coffee, and now I'm drinking green tea. And the other day I was going to Tim Hortons, and, you know, I got my green tea, but then I ordered a donut, and I tend to do that through as I go through the drive-thru. So it's not working out for losing weight, but that's okay, because God is showing me that, you know, I'm not supposed to base my self-esteem on what my weight is. And because I'm going through the drive-thru, I end up being late for work, and now I got to meet with the HR person. But that's okay, because God is in the midst of that, because God has given me an opportunity to share with the HR person. And you get this idea as this person talks, and it's God, 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 that they're kind of, you know, avoiding some personal responsibility. Then on the other extreme is people who kind of hear stories like that, and they kind of go, yeah, you know, God gave us a brain. You just got to use your brain. You know, God gave us wisdom to use. You got to just use your wisdom, you know? And you know, because of some stories like that, they tend to react and perhaps even overreact in terms of, you know, throwing the baby out with the bathwater. How does God speak to us? How do we hear God's voice? I think it's a very relevant theme. A young adult from our church recently told me that he's at a fork in the road in his faith. Maybe you are also. Maybe you're at the fork in the road in terms of your future, or in terms of schooling, or work, or a relationship, or a decision you're facing. There's a fork in the road. How do you know which path to take? Well, before we dig into our scripture, let me tell you that five things that hearing God's voice is not. Hearing God's voice is not something that God just used to do in the past. See, as we read the Bible, we can see the testimony from beginning to end of God speaking to people. In Genesis, God spoke to Noah, build an ark. God spoke to Abraham, take your family and move from this place to where I'm going to show you to go. God spoke to Isaac and told him to not be afraid. We get to the book of Exodus, and God speaks to Moses. He's got this leadership challenge. God tells him where to get water. I don't know if God gave him a divining rod, but he spoke to him. God spoke to Joshua and said, hey, pick 12 leaders in Joshua chapter 4. Gideon, in the book of Judges, he's discouraged. God gives him this word of encouragement. The book of Samuel. Samuel is a kid. He's lying on his bed. God speaks to him. He calls his name. throughout the Old Testament into the New Testament. Stories such as the book of Acts. We have Philip, who's directed by God to meet up with an Ethiopian eunuch who's riding in a carriage. And we read things like in Acts chapter 8, it says, the angel of the Lord said to Philip, or the Spirit told Philip, or the Spirit took Philip away. And we get this idea when we read stories like that, the Spirit leading, teaching, speaking, we think, oh, you know, back then, you know, God had these special cell phones with the God ringtone on them. And God would hand out those cell phones, you know, to certain saints who, when the God ringtone, you know, buzzed them, they knew this was from the Lord. But what if it's not like that? What if when we read a passage like that, that God speaking to Philip is an impression or a nudge that Philip is getting in his heart, in his mind? Because sometimes we think that, yeah, it happened for the people back then. But nowadays it's so different, you know, and we almost make it like that God got laryngitis, you know, at the end of the first century, you know, and now he's not speaking to people anymore. But friends, doesn't it make sense? Doesn't it make sense that when you're discouraged, like Isaac, that God will give you a word of encouragement? When you're facing a leadership challenge, like a Joshua or a Moses, that you can appeal to the leader of all. And he will guide you. That when, like Gideon, you're discouraged, that God will come along with a word of courage. When, like Abraham, you're facing a choice, a decision on moving, switching jobs, whatever it may be, that God will give you that word that you need for that time. That all through the Bible, we see God speaking to people. And Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He hasn't lost his voice. He still communicates with his people. Secondly, that hearing God's voice is not just for eccentric people. Like I said, there's super spiritual Sam and people like him that are continually, in a sense, almost pushing things on God. And for some of us, we react against that, or some of us react to the third person of the Trinity. We're okay with God the Father. We're fine with Jesus the Son, but the Holy Spirit seems kind of mystical, mysterious for us. And I say, don't throw the baby out with bathwater. To be open to what God is saying to you. Because sometimes we can get our filters up. And in mainstream society, now this idea of God speaking to us, well, that just gets mocked. Right? There was The View, that TV show. You've heard of it? A bunch of ladies there from The View. To be honest, I've never seen the show. But, you know, I hear about it. They discuss the hot topics of the week. You know, so I think this week, I imagine, they were probably talking about Ellen DeGeneres and the former President George W. Bush, you know, sitting together at the Dallas Cowboys football game, you know, and I'm sure they had strong opinions around that. Well, a couple months ago, they talked about Vice President Mike Pence and his Christian faith because he says that he speaks to Jesus and Jesus speaks to him. And one of the co-hosts mocked him out, and her words were, "That's called mental illness. If I'm not correct, hearing voices is mental illness." I think she later, you know, kind of backed off from that statement. But, you know, that's kind of what our culture says. You know, you can talk to God, but when somebody says, oh, God spoke to them, we get our guard up and we can become dismissive of the whole topic. But I remind you that God continually spoke to people in the Bible and he speaks today. Or thirdly, that hearing God's voice is not just for a select few people. See, we can sometimes think, oh, it's just for the saints of old, or it's just for super saints nowadays. But as we read Romans 8:14, for those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. Friends, if you know Christ as your Savior, as your forgiver, as your leader, he wants to speak to you. It's not just for a select few. Don't ever get caught up in the lie to think that I'm not worthy of God's guidance, you know? God's not going to talk to me. We tell ourselves these lies. But Jesus gives us a metaphor in John chapter 10 when he says, he's the good shepherd and we are his sheep. And the sheep know the shepherd's voice. Do you think the sheep ever say, you know, that you know, with a real shepherd, the sheep ever say, I'm not worthy. I don't deserve to hear the master's voice. No, I'm too dull to recognize when the shepherd calls me. I'm just going to stay here, eat in the dirt, you know, and I'm not going to go to the green pastures. Now, when the shepherd calls, the sheep follow. The sheep know the shepherd's voice. God's guidance is for all people, for young and for old. The same Holy Spirit that guided Philip in the book of Acts is the same Holy Spirit that guides you and I today. The same Holy Spirit that guides our children down in KU is the same Holy Spirit that guides the senior citizens in our congregation. From young to old, sinners and saints, the same Holy Spirit guides us all. It's not just for a select few. But fourthly, hearing God's voice is not a measure of spirituality. See, some people talk about hearing God like it's their badge of pride. But that's just arrogance. That's not from the Lord. We see a story, it's almost a humorous story in Numbers chapter 22. When Balaam is called by the king of Moab, Balak, to go and to curse Israel. And so he proceeds to do that, but the Lord isn't pleased with him making this decision. So God sends this angel to block Balaam as he's riding on his donkey. And three times this angel of the Lord blocks the donkey. And the Lord, it's almost funny, the Lord opens the eyes of the donkey that the donkey can see the angel. But Balaam the prophet, he can't see the angel. And so he's getting mad at his donkey, and particularly the third time when the donkey's kind of going against this wall and he's got his leg trapped there and he starts beating against his donkey. And he said, "Donkey, what are you doing? You know, I've got to get going here on my mission, what I'm supposed to do." And then the Lord takes the donkey's voice and opens it up, turns it to a human voice, and the donkey says, Master, why are you beating me?" And then Balaam's like, "Whoa," and because his eyes are opened up and he sees the angel of the Lord. Friends, if God can speak through a donkey, he can do it to and through you also, right? Because I can't imagine that donkey, you know, strutting around the barnyard going, "Hey, the Lord spoke to me, you know. The Lord opened my eyes and I saw, you know, this angel of the Lord." Any of you other barnyard animals see that? No, you didn't see that. But I saw that, you know. I wonder if they need a testimony this Sunday at church, you know. I'd be willing to get up there and share, you know. It's not a badge of honor that we wear. Or fifthly, that hearing God's voice is not insider information from God. Sometimes we could treat this topic of hearing God's voice almost like getting a stock tip. Right, that you get a tip, like some insider trading tip to find out what God wants you to do. Because you're thinking, "Oh, do I take this path or do I take that path? I need to find the insider tip. Otherwise, I might make the wrong decision when I come to the fork in the road." Who's watched this TV show, Let's Make a Deal? How many have seen that? Let's Make a Deal? This thing has been on like forever on TV, right? 1963 it started. Monty Hall was the host for 30 years. I PVR'd it this week, watched one of the shows yesterday. And so Let's Make a Deal. The audience all dresses up in like this, you know, crazy kind of outfits. It's almost like Halloween all year round because they want to get called to the front by the host. And they are called traitors, the people in the audience. They're the traitors. And when they get called, so yesterday I saw, you know, one lady is dressed up in like this peanut butter and jelly sandwich. She gets called to the front. And so these traitors get called to the front. And then the host, you know, offers them some sort of a prize. And they can choose, let's say, between an envelope or between a passport or between what's behind the curtain. And then they can choose whether to upsize that prize, not knowing, let's say, what's behind the next curtain. And they've got to decide, do I keep what I've got or do I take it? You know, and you can sense the stress on them because behind some of the curtains is this thing they call the zonk. You know, and I think we got a picture of the llama, you know, that instead of getting whatever, they get, you know, a car or a holiday, they get a llama, you know. And I've read that they can exchange that zonk prize for $100, you know. And so this idea that they're kind of stressing, kind of fretting, "Oh, okay, do I take the chance of opening the envelope or choosing what's behind that next curtain?" And sometimes we can feel God's will is that way. We think, "Okay, if I take God's plan, then I'm going to flourish, then I'm going to be happy, then I'm going to have a good life. But if I miss out, oh man, then I'm going to be on plan B. And then, you know, I'm going to have this miserable life." But God's will isn't like that. God is bigger than that, right? I remember 30 plus years ago, I was wrestling with a decision, and I don't even recall what the decision was. I thought, I'm going to read in the Bible, you know, all about God's will and what God's will is for me in order to help me to make this decision. And so I read verses like, why don't we stick it up on the screen there, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Let's read it together. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. What's God's will? It's that we be grateful. And you read other passages like, it's God's will that you be joyful. And God's will has far more to do with our character, who we are, our spiritual formation, matters of our soul, growing in God, than necessarily choosing path A or path B. See, we can sometimes get so caught up in what we do, and God is looking at who we are. And as He forms us to be like His Son Jesus, then the doing will follow. See, if we want guidance, we need to get close to the guide. So let's take a look at our scripture passage this morning, Ephesians chapter 6. I invite you to turn there with me. Ephesians chapter 6. The context is the Apostle Paul is talking about the armor of God. And he is writing to the church at Ephesus. He's chained to a Roman guard. Every morning this Roman guard would put on this armor. He'd put on the belt of truth. Or not the belt of truth, sorry. He put on this belt. Then he put on a breastplate. Then he put on the shoes. And Paul takes those aspects of armor of a Roman soldier and he applies them to our spiritual life. And he says the belt of truth. He calls it the breastplate of righteousness, the shoes of the gospel of peace. And then in verse 17, he says, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The first word there is the word take. Everybody say take. Take. It's a change there because up to that point, the Roman soldier has picked up the pieces of armor and he's put them on himself. But now the Roman guard will receive from his armor bearer or receive from his attendant the next piece of the armor, which is the helmet of salvation, a bronze leather helmet that they would put on. And again, Paul spiritualizes it there by calling it the helmet of salvation. That we are, in a sense, to take that or to receive it. We receive salvation. We take it, what Jesus offers to us. And then he says, take the helmet of salvation. Put that on to protect your mind. That God's truth will guard your mind. You know, protect you against the lies of the enemy that he would try and fire against your mind. And then the next piece of the weaponry, he says, take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now, what does Paul mean when he says there, Word of God? Well, I'm not sure exactly what he means. It could be he's referring earlier, a couple of verses earlier, verse 15, when he talks of the gospel of peace. The word of God, the Greek there is rhema. Everybody say rhema. It's rhema, so that the Word of God could refer to the gospel there. That in a sense, the gospel is our offensive weapon. That we go through life knowing that because Jesus overcame death, because Jesus is alive, that He has given us this gospel, this good news, this announcement that everything has changed because of Him. And that's our offensive weapon. Could also mean the word rhema there is also used by Jesus in Matthew chapter 4, when he's gone 40 days of fasting, the devil comes to him, and the devil says to Jesus, you're hungry, take these stones and turn them to bread. And Jesus says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. There's that word rhema. By every rhema that proceeds from the mouth of God. And he's quoting there from the book of Deuteronomy. And we see that Jesus do that three times. He uses the scripture against the devil. And so the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, could also refer to the Bible. In fact, when you do your rooted devotions this week, you'll see that's their interpretation that they're using there. That the rhema, the Word of God, that God uses the Bible to guide you and I. Now, the gospel in the Bible, God's utterance, that's what that word rhema literally means, the utterance of God. God's utterance to you You can only get that for yourself. I can't do that for you. You know, sometimes we think, you know, the Bible, it's so difficult. I can't listen or read the Bible, Rick. I'm just going to come on Sundays and you kind of break it open for me. You know, I'm going to get it secondhand. But do we do that in other areas of our life? Do we, secondhand? You know, let's say like a holiday. You think, okay, I'm going to buy tickets. You buy tickets to go to Hawaii, you know, and then you think, oh, such a hassle. Man, now I've got to, get things all ready at work to make sure that they're covered while I'm gone. And then, you know, I got to get somebody to look after my house when I'm gone. Oh, the dog. What am I going to do with the dog? I got to, you know, get somebody to look after the dog and, take care of that. And then I got to pack. And, oh, there's such a hassle. So many things to do. Rick, just take my tickets to Hawaii. You never offer me that, right? You want the firsthand experience of going on a holiday yourself, right? Same thing with like Thanksgiving dinner. You never say, you know, it's such a hassle. It's so much work. You know, you got to buy the turkey and prepare the food and clean the house and, you know, vacuum and, you know, set the table. And it's so much effort. I would just prefer pre-chewed food. You know, Rick, you enjoy your Thanksgiving dinner and then here's a doggy bag and just, you know, eat it for me firsthand and then, you know, give it to me secondhand next week. You know, gross. Like, nobody wants that, right? We don't want pre-chewed food. We want to experience it for ourselves. The same thing with hearing God's voice, friends. You've got to hear from God for yourself. I can't do that for you. Your family members can't do that for you. You've got to do it for yourself. To hear the utterance of God, the word of God, for yourself, to let God speak to you. And that's why I'm excited about this week's theme. As hundreds of us, you know, open our rooted journals for 5 days this week and interact with the scriptures and read the stories there and have our posture open to ready to hear from God. And today is our last Sunday. If you haven't got a rooted journal yet, you know, see Rebecca at the back, pick one up. The ones that don't go today, if you don't pick one up and you don't have one, we're going to donate them to another church. Any leftover ones, I'd prefer to donate to you because you're my peeps, you know, as opposed to another church. So I'd say grab a journal there at the back. And if we want guidance, we need to get close to the guide. Next scripture verse, verse 18. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. To hear God's voice, we need to listen to God's promptings continually. He uses phrases there like pray in the Spirit on all occasions. Be alert. In fact, in the Greek, it uses the word all 4 times there. All. This idea of continuous, of ongoing. What's the difference between praying in the Spirit and praying? Well, it relates to that all. That at all times, on all occasions, all kinds of prayers, that we continuously be people of prayer. That in a sense, we go through our daily lives, but we've also got one ear to heaven in the midst of it. It's not like we do our rooted journal, we do our 10 minutes each day, and then we close the book and say, well, that's done. Okay, done with you, God. Now I'm going on to my own life. It's like, no, God is part of our lives 24/7, whatever we're doing. This continuous listening to God in the midst of our days, whether eating Thanksgiving meal with our families or friends, or whether going to school or work this week, you know, being in a meeting, playing sports, doing recreation, taking care of kids, whatever it may be, that we're listening to God in the midst of it. I put on your outline there a quote from Thomas Kelly. There's a way of ordering our mental life on more than one level at once. On one level, we may be thinking, discussing, seeing, calculating, meeting all the demands of the external affairs. But deep within, behind the scenes at the profounder level, we may be in prayer and adoration, song and worship, and a gentle receptiveness to divine breathings. And friends, all of life is not just to be lived. All of life is to be prayed. And whether we call it divine breathings like Thomas Kelly does, or God's promptings, or Lord's openings like George Fox called them, or inner testimonies of the Spirit like John Calvin called them, or movements of the soul like St. Ignatius called them, whatever we may call them, those nudges that come from God to connect with God continually. If we want guidance, we need to get close to the guide. Secondly, to hear God's voice, we need to listen to His voice with others. Paul says there, always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. And then in the next verse, he says, verse 19, pray also for me that whenever I speak, and he kind of gives his own prayer request to the Ephesians. That this idea that not only do we read in the Bible that God spoke to people, but also we read continually that God spoke through people. That in a sense, in community is where we kind of bounce off our ideas of, hey, I've got this idea. I'm not sure if it's a God idea or a good idea, or maybe just a bad idea, you know? That can you help me discern God's voice together? Because we see throughout the scriptures, God speaking, not only to people, but through people. Kings, priests, prophets, and ordinary people. Everyday people. To hear God's voice, do it in community. Discern God's voice together. And thirdly, to hear God's voice, be responsive to what God tells you to do. See, it's one thing to say, hey, I'm open to God's voice. It's one thing to say, hey, I'm going to do 5 days of devotions on hearing how God speaks. Another thing then to act upon what God tells us to do, right? We want to be a community who hears from God and then obeys what he calls us to do. So friends, you got a significant decision in your life? Is it time to kind of maybe this Thanksgiving weekend hit the pause button and just open yourself up to how God would lead and guide and direct you? And maybe throughout your weekend and into this week, as you encounter people, just to send up a quick prayer and say, God, what would you have for me? And God will sometimes point out something that he's got for you or for the other person, something that he's doing in your life. And to pray, gracious God, guide me. And maybe there's an area in your life right now you want his guidance. God brought you here. God continually speaks to his people. Like I said, he didn't get laryngitis. He wants to speak in 2019 to you. Don't dismiss it. Don't think you're not worthy of it. God continually speaks to his people. If you want to get guidance, get close to the guide. And friends, as you do that, as you commune with God, as we as a church get deeper, getting rooted in God this fall, his voice will become more apparent and more clear. It's kind of like when I call home and I call my wife, Sheila. I don't introduce myself, right? I don't say, oh, hello, Sheila. It's Rick Beyer, your husband calling. You'd be like, what? I just pick up the phone. Hey, babe, how's it going? You know, and she knows that's me calling, you know. Same thing with you and God. See, I believe, friends, that God wants to speak to you more than even you want to hear from him. Let's be the people who open our hearts, our minds, to be responsive to him. Let's pray. Well, some of you are at a place of needing to hear from God. Let's just take a few moments of silence right now. That maybe you'll sense a nudging, a prompting in your spirit. Or maybe you just need to cast things over to God because your mind is so cloudy and confused and full of things, and God, I pray you would speak. Show us. Guide us. Speak to us, your children. Well, as heads are bowed and eyes are closed, if you're looking for guidance today, you want God to direct you this day, why don't you just kind of put up your hand to God. Say, God, I am looking for your direction here. Yeah, some of you are looking to hear from the Lord. The Lord sees your hand as you put your hand up. He's going to speak to you, my friends, on the decision that you're facing, the fork in the road you're at. Oh, Jesus, you see these hands that are raised. You look down upon these, your people. And as the sheep, we want to know We can wander off ourselves so readily and quickly. Yet we want to hear the voice of you, our good shepherd. So speak, Lord Jesus, I pray. In your powerful name, amen.